Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to another edition of CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny. And it is a beautiful morning.
Yeah, it is great. 39 degrees, a bit fresh this morning, but it looks like a pretty nice day of the 2 days of the weekend. This probably is the best weather-wise. How was the week at Lloyd's? Busy, I presume?
Yeah, as we would call it, the faucet is on.
The fire hose is on.
more like, yeah, the fire hose is on, and the schedule's full, and we're just trying to get through as many as we can every day and get ready for the next day, enjoy our weekend and the beautiful weather, and get ready for Monday.
Yeah, back at it. As we're waiting for listeners, by the way, if you have any issues with your car, your truck, your van, and you think you might have to bring it in to get the problem solved, but you want to know ahead of the game what might be wrong with it, why don't you give us, Nick, a text or a call, whichever is easier. I'll give you a number in a moment. Nick will give you kind of an analysis over the radio about what could be wrong with your car, your truck, your van. Kind of gives you a little idea. So call us or text us, whatever works for you this morning. But keep in mind, our time goes by very quickly. Nick leaves us about 7:45. So call 651-461-9226. Or again, if it's easier, send a text to that number, 651-461-9226. While we're waiting for some folks to give us a call or text, I wanted to ask you, and it's almost like getting a contractor over for some project. You don't know who to call. How does one find a mechanic or a shop? How do you know what to look for? Of course, somebody like Lloyd's, someplace like Lloyd's, been around for a long time. You could probably count on it. You know, if it's doing good business, it's been around. But maybe somebody new is moving into town from the Twin Cities. They don't know anybody as far as word of mouth. What would you suggest?
Well, I think you hit the first thing. If you've been around a long time, you know, there's a shop on most corners in most cities and, you know, municipals. And, you know, there's a lot of really good operators out there. We always give our information, obviously, but you don't have to drive all over to see us. There's a lot of good shops. You know, you can look online, talk to your neighbors, coworkers, you know, your new, phone friends, you know, look at some reviews, which I'm always a little skeptical of because sometimes reviews, you know, if you read through the fine print, they're not always very truthful or I don't know how they come up with them, but, I would just ask around, you know, you can look at for the certifications, you know, when you're looking at their websites, see if they're members of any local organizations, you know, those that are part of a bigger group. Obviously, you would think that they'd be more reliable, trustworthy, honest, all of that. And, you know, and I also think that our industry has kind of created a name for itself and not always a good name based on the history. I think most shops do a good job. I think most people tried to, you know, fix the car the first time. Sometimes maybe they lack in the communication, which can be frustrating. But maybe you just have to, go to the corner shop and talk to the person. Say, hey, I'm new to the neighborhood. You know, I got this type of car. Do you work on these types of cars? What are your specialties? What are your, what can you do and what can you not do? And hopefully from there you can maybe find some comfort to give them a try. And, if you come across a problem, just say, hey, I don't understand. And that's always the hardest part when we're talking to new customers and there's maybe a little awkwardness and you can tell that they're not very comfortable with something, but they just won't share that with you. And as you know, I like to talk, so I can talk through anything, but it's just hard when you try to have people that don't understand and are afraid to ask to try to explain what's happening, what has happened, and why it costs what it costs. So as always, communicate, right? That's the first thing you got to do. So ask around, communicate, and hopefully you'll find a good place to keep your car on the road.
And as you know, over the years, you talked and mentioned sometimes there's some bad rep, but it can be, especially with the prices of labor and parts these days, especially, it can be kind of intimidating. So somebody can be a little nervous about coming into a new shop or any shop for that matter.
Well, absolutely. And you're right. It's gotten really expensive. I've done this my whole life. So you don't notice it when it's, you're in the moment. But when you look back at, we look at some of the history and some of the cars we worked on just a few years ago, and you can see what we were able to charge for tires or batteries or the labor rate. And it's gone up so much, and it's just kind of the way the world is, unfortunately, but it is that. So if you are having a repair done, it is very costly. Ask those questions to make sure you understand you get what you're paying for, and it's to your satisfaction. If somebody says something costs X amount of money, and you get that funny feeling in your stomach, say, hey, this doesn't feel right to me, help me understand. And they should be able to do that. They should be able to say, well, these are the parts, this is the labor. They can maybe demonstrate through something online or a visual aid to kind of help put it all together for you. But you deserve that. If you're asking questions, you deserve the answers.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys are good at that too. No intimidation there. Friendly. Let's grab a phone call this morning, Nick. George hanging on there from Buffalo. Let's see what George wants. Hi, George. What's your question for Nick?
Yes, I have a 2013 Chevy truck, and I've always had it serviced at the dealer with using the 530 Dexos synthetic oil. The last time, they kind of screwed up, and they put conventional oil in, and I didn't realize that until well into the mileage. I'm just curious, going back to the 5W30 Dexos again, or what's the possible outcome?
I don't think it'll cause any damage. You've got a few years and a few miles on the truck. The weight is correct, the 5W30. A lot of the manufacturers, GM, for example, uses Dexos as their additive package. So there's certain things that they're looking for in the oil. That being said, they're not going to hurt anything or ruin anything. I think the most important thing to follow is when you have a new vehicle, if they're asking for a particular specification, to follow that in the event there's a problem, that you have some warranty coverage. That's the biggest piece to it. But your vehicle's, 12 years old. It's got, I'm sure, a few miles on it. If you're using the 5W30, you're changing on a regular basis, you're going to be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's still the changing often, right? That helps, whatever the oil.
Oh. 100%. The maintenance on a regular basis is the biggest thing you can do. We sound like a broken record, I know, but we see it every day where it's just like, we just got to, our lives are busy, our lives are full, but don't forget about your car.
Absolutely. Now, here's a text I'm looking at before we take a quick break. Texter wants to know, should I use 10% or 15% ethanol if I have a choice? Is there a choice all the time?
There's not, but there's some stations around town that offer a varying amount of ethanol. And we touch on this. First off, make sure your vehicle is capable. Maybe it's a, E85 ready vehicle. Maybe it's capable to handle that variance of the ethanol content. I know some will say, well, 10% is okay on any vehicle, 15% is okay on any vehicle. The rest of the story is that we're enticed by the price. That's a good line. But like I said here a couple weeks back, is when you have a higher alcohol content in the fuel economy kind of goes away. So you'd have to do the math on your vehicle, run a tank of the regular fuel or a couple tanks, check your mileage, rent a tank or two of the higher ethanol content fuel, check your mileage, look at the overall cost. I think it's going to be kind of a wash, to be honest.
A wash, yeah. Hang on, Nick. We'll take this break, reminding our listeners to call or text as soon as you have a thought about your car, your truck, your van. Nick will be with us till about 7:45. 651-461-9226. We'd love to hear from you this morning here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here along with ASE Certified Technician Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. You know, we're talking about finding a shop for your car repair, especially if you're new to the Twin Cities area. Nick, tell folks who may need some help from Lloyd's, how do we find you guys? How do we contact you?
Yes, sir. So if you have a question, need some advice, don't hesitate to call. You can reach at 651-228-1316. And if you happen to be in St. Paul on Grand Avenue or on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, it's a yellow brick building, green awning, so stop and say hi. And as always, if you need more information, do check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing. We'll also give you that information before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45. Any kind of a car care question, let's hear from you, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Texter says this, and Nick, see if I can interpret it here. I have a very high mileage Lexus going from 20 to 30 miles an hour. The RPM gauge goes up to 3,000, comes back down to 1,500 normal range. Get a surge feeling. Doesn't happen all the time. Not sure what might be happening. I have an enclosed transmission unit. I cannot check transmission fluid level. What would you suggest there, Nick?
Well, I would have someone take it for a test drive, try to duplicate that experience. It does seem like maybe the transmission's slipping a little bit there under the right circumstances. So we would drive it, bring a scan tool. As I always say, you have the piece of tool or equipment in the vehicle. You can look at the data that's happening, look for some shift points, some pressure levels, some different things to try to figure out, is this related to internal the transmission, or is there an input into that that's not reading properly, causing it to kind of search for the gear or maybe surge a little bit. So I'd probably take it in, have it, you know, assessed, try to figure out what's going on. And once you have that information, you can decide what you want to do with it.
I think we've talked about this transmission fluid exchange flush from time to time here in the show. I saw a video of a mechanic saying, of course, everything you see on the internet is true, of course. To exchange every 30,000 miles, he was saying, if you're going to keep the car. If you're not, don't worry about it. But if you're going to keep your car for a long time, that was his figure, 30,000 miles. Does that ring true with you?
No, I think that might be a little excessive.
Excessive.
You know, every make and model is a little different. Of course, I'm going to say check the owner's manual. That being said, the transmissions have really evolved. You know, when I started in this, you know, we'd pull the pan down, get a new filter, you know, exchange the fluid that way. And then it kind of evolved in these flushing machines, you know, where we'd flush all the fluid out, you know, different packages there. And now it's kind of come where most vehicles, quite honestly, are drain and fill, a lot like the engine, I guess you could say. You pull the drain plug, and not all the fluid, a good portion of the fluid will come out. Then you get a set amount to put back in, because like this texter said, there's not a really, in a lot of vehicles, not a way to check the fluid. So you have to make sure that you have the right tooling and capabilities to make sure you get the right amount back in. But I feel that transmissions have gotten a lot better. I think they're sealed a lot better. There's a lot less contamination. I think you'll look in your owner's manual. It might say 100,000 miles in some cases. So I think 30,000 on most vehicles is probably a little too often for sure. But, you know, check your owner's manual, see what your vehicle recommends, and follow that the best you can.
Very good. 651-461-9226. Phone call or text will get your question answered here this morning in the show. This listener sent this text. Let me see here. Oh, there it is. I have a 2010 Jeep Wrangler that I replaced the heater core on last winter. It's now starting to blow cold. Is a coolant flush my best option, and how do you do that?
Well, we need to first determine why is it blowing cold. Is there an air pocket there? Or did something possibly happen with maybe some of the blend doors? Maybe the, you know, we've talked about this in the past also where, you know, the blower motor forces air through that heater box out the ducts in the vehicle, whether it's on the vent on the floor or it's in the defrost. So the fan's spinning the air, the flaps decide where the air goes. but there's also a set of doors in there to decide the temperature. And if you're looking for hot air, it's going to send that air past the heater core on a warm engine. A heater core is kind of like a radiator, gives you heat. But on the other, on the summer months or when we want cold air, it's going to go past the evaporator where it blows that air through there to give us air conditioning. So there's a lot going on in that little box in the dash. If it's blowing cold air, we need to see, is the coolant level full? Is the heater core capable of giving us heat? If it is full of coolant, it is, you know, hot water there, and it's not getting out to us, that means that something else is happening where that ductwork's not getting the right air or the right temperature air out to you. So a little further dig in there, you know, check the coolant level. If you did that heater core yourself, maybe you're capable of kind of getting up under the dash and look around a little bit, but I'd be very careful. A lot of plastic pieces in there, a lot of pieces that can be broken in there, so be very cautious that you don't create more problems for yourself.
I was going to ask you about that. Materials over the years, just for one thing, for weight or lack of, are there more plastic parts? I'm thinking years and years ago when people would change out heater cores, as far as radiators too. That's really changed, hasn't it?
Well, it is. You know, we used to be able to solder radiators to fix a leak, and now a lot of times it's an aluminum core with plastic tanks crimped on the end, which, you know, over a period of time can become a problem where that seal starts to leak. But, yeah, you're exactly right. We've, in an effort to save weight, cost, you know, cost of materials and such, they've changed, in a lot of cases, for the better. You know, we don't have, unlike metal materials, creating a lot of corrosion and a lot of restrictions there. We don't see a lot of that anymore. But the trade-off is a lot more plastic with our climate changes. You know, the running temp of an engine is 200 degrees, and we can get sub-zero here in the winter months. So that car's under a lot of stress, and sometimes those plastic pieces will get brittle and fail because of that. So it's in some cases it's good because they're better, but in other situations it can cost a lot to fix them.
Nick, a listener heard us talking about flushing transmission fluid, but this listener wants to know how often, generally speaking, doesn't mention any year or make or model, how often should one change the coolant in a car if you're going to keep it?
You know, it kind of goes along the same path. I think that the manufacturer's done a great job of sealing these systems, a lot less contamination, let us byproduct get into the coolant. You know, we used to change coolant every 30,000 miles or every 2 years, depending on the vehicle and the system. But I think that they've created additives to the coolant to kind of help them handle the temperature changes, handle the different types of materials that they're flowing through. There's plastic, aluminum, all kinds of stuff that's going on inside of the engine there. And a lot of cases now, same thing. That could be 100,000 miles in certain vehicles. So I would check the owner's manual. Don't say that specifically for your vehicle, but I think you'll find that a lot of these fluid services, they've extended the intervals, which is good, cost savings, but also you have to be careful not to forget about them because we did things more often, we remembered, but now you're like, geez, have I changed that coolant? Oh, it's been 7 years, I haven't done it, I got 150,000 miles. You check that maintenance schedule, I think you're going to find that you're overdue. So, you know, every car is a little different, but look at that manual, look at the, you know, maintenance schedule. When you take it in for a service, say, hey, I haven't had some of these things done to my vehicle. Can you check the history? Can you check the maintenance schedule? And then the third thing, can you look at the items on the car to see if they're due?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, the cars run so well these days. We kind of get lulled into complacency, as they said, they run so well. All right. Quick break is in order, and we'll have a look at that forecast, see what the forecast calls for, not only this weekend, but this coming week as well, so stay with us. But if you do have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you sooner rather than later. Nick will be here for about another 15 minutes. 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday, thanks to Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive, helping you out right after the 7 o'clock news break every Saturday. Hope you can check us out from time to time. And Nick, callers, texters, so we'll put you back to work here. Jerry is first up here calling from New Hope, I believe. Thank you, Jerry. What is your question for Nick?
Yeah, I got a 93 Ford pickup, 150, and she pops right off when I turn the key on. But when it gets warm, I go up to the store or go someplace for drive for 10 minutes. It doesn't want to start right away. I have to let it sit or have the battery jumped. What could that be? The starter? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe the starter, you know, it's got a couple years on it. I feel like that we used to see issues with the ignition modules heating up on those also. You know, unfortunately, I'm going to use the standard response, right? Take it in, have them take it for a drive, try to experience what's going on there. But then you also said you needed a jump start, so I wonder if you're trying to start it enough that the battery's just getting a little bit more down, or is there something going on where maybe the alternator's not fully charging the battery, but you'd think that would be a problem in the morning also. So I think we need to get a little more information there to see what we're missing when you're trying to restart it. You know, that's the first thing we would do. The car comes in, drives just fine. You know, you drive around, get it nice and warmed up, and won't restart. We're going to check fuel pressure. We're going to check for spark. You know, we're going to see what we're missing there. Once we know what we're missing, we can kind of work backwards and try to figure out what's going on. But if my memory serves me right, I feel like we used to have some issues with those ignition modules heating up and not working very well on a restart. So that's my over-the-phone advice there. So have somebody get a close to look for you, get a little more information, and hopefully figure out what's going on there, especially as it warms up here.
Yeah, some variables to look at for sure there. Thanks, Jerry. Catherine is calling in from Blaine this morning. Catherine, thank you. What is your question for Nick?
Well, thanks, you guys. Nick, I have a 2017 Toyota RAV4, and I had the brakes replaced about 2 years ago, and now they're squeaking, but I've had them checked, and it said that there's nothing wrong with the brakes. So why would they squeak? It's not all the time. It's, you know, it just happens.
So that's a common theme right now. This time of the year, there's a lot of moisture in the air. You know, we've gotten a lot of rain, the dew point, the temperature very close to each other. And a lot of times what happens is, I'm going to use the word corrosion, not the word rust, but a little corrosion on those brake rotor surfaces. It's overnight, you get a little bit of buildup on there, and you go to drive off in the morning, you might have a little bit of noise there. That's probably normal. You know, it's a bare piece of metal, it's exposed to the atmosphere, the air, the moisture, you get a little bit of surface corrosion there. Hopefully you drive it after a couple stops, it goes away. A lot of times people say, I hear this noise the first time I back out of the driveway in the morning and don't hear it again. Same type of situation. So I'm sure it's okay if someone's looked, the materials are good. If it's continuing, you can always ask them to take it apart. You know, you don't, maybe don't need any parts replaced, but maybe they can clean and lubricate so those sliding points there are clean. There's no friction there, which creates that noise. But I think it's probably just fine. I think it's more of an issue of the time of the year. I think if you wait a few weeks when things get a little bit warmer, it might just go away for you.
Next text, Nick, a listener says, I may be really dating myself. Does the variable valve timing on newer engines replace what used to be the vacuum advance on old distributor systems?
In part, that's true. So a distributor was a mechanical piece that spun with the engine, was connected to the camshaft, and that's how the engine, the rotor and cap rotor would rotate, and it would send spark to each cylinder as it would rotate. Well, they had a vacuum advance in there, so as the engine was going faster, we needed to kind of speed up that spark a little bit, so it had the right timing, as we would call it. So the vacuum advance would use the vacuum from the engine and kind of clock that rotor at a different position as the RPMs came up, giving the spark at a different time. Well, now with the, you know, cars that they've evolved, we'll use the variable valve timing, which is use oil, which is my favorite subject, oil, right, to kind of control that and adjust the timing as we're driving down the road. So we've taken a mechanical thing that required engine vacuum and a mechanical connection to use more science, more electronics, and more fine-tuning, which gives us better fuel economy, better gas mileage, or drivability, idling, all that. So it is partly the same. And it's actually a lot better, to be honest, as long as you change your oil.
Absolutely. Change oil. We have time for maybe one or two more. Let's see. 2013 Chrysler Town & Country Touring. The check engine light, code torque converter, clutch. Shifting is smooth, 94,300 miles, 94.3. Vehicle is otherwise in good condition. What do you think of that?
Well, it's telling you that the torque converter clutch is flipping likely that it sees a different speed of the input and output of the speed sensors. I would say next time it's in service, have them take it for a test drive. I'm going to, once again, talk about that scan tool that gives us the information. That tool will read that input and output sensor, see what's happening, see if the torque converter is getting stuck or the clutch is getting stuck there, the solenoid is getting stuck. Not a promise, but possibly doing a service on the fluid might help. If there's a little bit of corrosion or a little bit of buildup in there, that could always, won't hurt for sure. But if it's operating fine, the car's got a few years on, a few miles on it. If it's an accessible solenoid, maybe it's worth a repair, but I don't think I would rip the transmission out of the vehicle to chase at this point if it's working just fine.
Okay, one more. We get this from time to time. For car maintenance, is time or mileage more important?
Yes. If your car sits in the garage all winter and you don't put any miles on it and it's been through the heating cooling cycle, you still need to service it. The oil is going to absorb some moisture. A lot of the fluids absorb moisture. Brake fluid absorbs moisture. So it's kind of a combination. You know, if you drive a lot of highway miles, maybe you can get squeak a couple extra miles. But if you're just in town, maybe, and you don't put on the 5,000 miles in a year, you still need to change it. You can't ignore that. You know, it's kind of a combination of the two. So if you're at either extreme, you need to do it more often. If you're like most of us, just a regular routine will be just fine.
One more quick one. Is it okay to go beyond 3,000 miles on a synthetic blend oil change?
Maybe. The term synthetic blend, I don't know what percent is what, obviously. I'm just going to say my standard answer, conventional oil, which most of them are somewhat semi-synthetic as it is, yeah. 3,000 miles, a full synthetic, 5,000 miles, anything in between is probably depends on case by case, but I would say possibly it's okay.
But get it done.
Don't forget it. Yes.
All right, Nick, we have to get out of here and make way for Ted Farrell. How do we get in touch with Lloyd's Automotive, please?
Yes, sir. So if you have a question, you need some advice, you can reach us at 651-228-1316. And as always, if you're on Grand Avenue, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. And then if you need more information, do check our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
I will do that very thing. And let's talk again next week, Nick.
Sounds like a date.
Good deal. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Stay tuned next for Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. And then get those lawn and garden questions ready for Mary Meyer here on News Talk A3O WCCO.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.